بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين أما بعد continue our readings in a chapter that the author she has mentioned من آفات اللسان from the diseases or the ills of the tongue and we begin reading a new portion the author she has entitled الجدل في غير حق to dispute and to argue or to debate without right to dispute and to argue or to debate يعني الجدل without right الجدل The ulama they mention, رحمهم الله تعالى مقابلة الحجة بالحجة. الجدل هو مقابلة الحجة بالحجة. That a person, one or more people, or two or more people, they will exchange proofs back and forth and evidences to support their position. لإظهار مذاهبهم وتقريرها in order to establish their positions and their opinions and the likes like this and to affirm that. So it's called al-jadil and one would present a proof or an evidence or his position and the evidence for that and another he will respond and the likes. And also from this word al-jadil there are other derivatives as well that are similar like al-mujadalah. Al-mujadalah. And this is whenever a person will intend to silence the individual in his speech and to find fault with the person's speech and to mention the weakness of his statements and positions and to belittle him and the likes like this. And it's called المجادلة وبقصد إفحام الآخرين وتعجيزهم وتنقيسهم بالقدح في كلامهم ونسبة كلامهم من القصور والجهل. نعم, this is what the ulama they mention. المجادلة is whenever a person he will strive to silence an individual and to overcome him and to clarify the falseness of his position and to silence him in that affair and to speak ill about his statements and his positions that he has and the likes like this in his positions and to ascribe that person's speech and his positions and the likes or his opinions to falsehood or to ignorance or having deficiency and the likes like this. So this is al-mujadila. Also, it's going back and forth similar, with exchanging proofs. With exchanging proofs. Some other synonyms or كلمات المترادفة المناظرة والمخاصمة. المناظرة is a debate, having a debate, going back and forth, and this is well known the meaning of that. And likewise, المخاصمة, quarreling and arguing. And also from the similar meanings or words that have similar meanings, like الجدل here, the title, الجدل في غير حق, to debate without right. المراء. المراء. The ulama they mention طعن في كلام الغير أو في كلام الآخرين بظهار الخلل فيه. That المراء is that a person he will find fault with the speech of others. نعم, but it has an extra issue here. مع إرادة التحقير القائل وظهار مزية القياسة عليه. That a person whenever he falls into المراء which is quarreling and dispute of argument or argumentation, then this was whenever a person he will hear somebody's speech and he will find fault with that and he will speak bad about that person's speech in that position and he will strive to clarify the falsehood of that or to find fault with his statement. And he does this with the intention of belittling that person and also of displaying his virtue over him. And the likes like this is called mira when they're arguing back and forth. And all of this is not from in general, it's not from the way of the people of the Sunnah. Rather, Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullahu ta'ala, whenever he mentioned Usul al-Sunnah, he began and he mentioned that Usul al-Sunnah indana tamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wal-iqtida'u bihim. Now that he said that the foundations of the Sunnah with us, meaning the proper creed and belief and methodology, the foundations of the Sunnah with us, meaning Ahl Sunnah, according to Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, is to hold fast to that which the companions were upon and to take them as role models, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum jami'an, to hold fast to what they were upon and to take them as role models. وَتَرْكُ الْبِدْعَةِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, and to leave off innovation, because every innovation, it is misguidance. And then he said, after this, rahimahullah, at the very beginning of this work, وَتَرْكُ الْجِدَالُ وَالْمِرَاءَ فِي الدِّينَ وَتَرْكُ الْجِدَالُ وَالْمِرَاءَ وَالْخُصُمَاتُ فِي الدِّينَ, that he said also, and after mentioning the foundation of the Sunnah, holding fast to what the companions were upon, radiallahu anhum, and taking them as a role model, and staying away from entirety, and avoiding and leaving off innovations in the religion, the very next issue he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, fi usul as-sunnah, the foundations of the Sunnah, with Imam Ahmed, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Ahli Sunnah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, to leave off arguing and debating and quarreling in the affairs of the deen. To leave off arguing and debating and quarreling and disputing in the affairs of the deen. And there are many people that at one time they were upon khayr, and they were upon goodness, and they were upon istiqamah, and they had the correct creed and understanding, and they had the correct belief, and they were steadfast upon piety, and then they were tried with arguing and debating others. And this was a means for them to go astray. And there's many aspects from that. And from the greatest aspect of that is that sometimes a person, he will debate, and then maybe the opponent will say something that will rile up his heart or affect him personally. And now, even if in the beginning he had began the debate hoping for the reward of Allah and with sincerity to show the truth and the proof that he knows and the evidence of the Quran and the Sunnah to establish that, and so that the statement of Allah can be the Most High, and to refute the falsehood and the falsehood of the disbelievers and the people of the book, and to clarify the falsehood of the people of innovation, he had this beautiful intention, and then during his debate and during his quarrel, something happens and his intention changes, and now he is debating for his own soul and to have victory and to overcome, and the conversation, this is a means for his heart to deviate. And likewise, a lot of times a person, he will start debating, and sometimes he will get into debate with people who have background and they have knowledge with this, and they will have proof and shubuhat that he's not able to defend, or he's not able to refute, or he does not have the answer right away, and the likes like this, and it will be a means for these doubts to enter his heart, iyadhan billah. So for this reason, it's from the foundations of the Sunnah that a person, he will not give in, or he will not start arguing or debating or quarreling. This is the foundation and the fundamental issue, and particularly with the layman, and likewise the students of knowledge who are not firmly grounded. Now, but we will see that and this is the general understanding, that arguing in the affairs of the deen, one will stay away from that, and one will avoid that, and one will not fall into that, and one not go back and forth with individuals and debating with them, and the likes like this. But it is allowed, and it is permissible, and it is praiseworthy in certain circumstances for those who are qualified. Qualified to stand firm for the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal and to display the truth. There are those who are, they themselves, they're carrying the truth, and they are upon the truth. They are the carriers of the Sunnah, those who bear that in their hearts and on their creed and in their action and in their manners and in their statement and in their deed. And they are firm upon that and steadfast, and they are also well versed with the ways of misguidance and the ways of the evil and the wicked and the ways of the deviant and the deviant sects that are contrary to the way of the Haqq and the way of the Sunnah and the way of the companions radiallahu anhum, and he has the ability to clarify that. Some people, they have the knowledge and they know the proofs and the evidences, and likewise they know the falsehood. Even some of them, they know them in detail, but they do not have the ability to express that. So this person is dangerous if he falls into quarreling, because maybe he could present his position, but then somebody may be more well-versed than him, a person of falsehood. He's upon falsehood, but the way that he decorates his speech and the way that he presents his issue and his debate, it looks as if he is strong and powerful. It looks like he's standing on something, especially to the people who do not have knowledge, especially to the ignorant and to the layman. So therefore, maybe a person of falsehood could overcome a person of truth in a debate or in an argument. He does not overcome the truth. He does not overcome the truth. The truth cannot be overcome. But the person of Haqq, maybe he is upon the Haqq, but because of deficiency in his ability to display that and to express that and to clarify the falsehood of others and the falsehood of the other methodologies and ways, even though he knows the truth himself, but he has a deficiency in expression and he has a deficiency in clarification, this could have a foul and a bad result and a bad outcome, and others could see as if that person who was upon the truth is upon falsehood. Because he was, defeated in the argument or in the debate. Because he will be put in a corner, he will not be able to express himself clearly, and he will not be able to present the proofs properly, and to clarify the proofs properly, sometimes even though he knows that, and the other person, maybe he has a swift tongue, and maybe he has, like they say in English, the gift of a gab. But he's a person of falsehood, and especially the people from innovation, because they memorize the text and they memorize the Quran and the Sunnah, but they use them in a manner that is not correct. And they use the Haqq in a manner to establish falsehood. So the person has to be well versed with that in knowledge and also in understanding himself. And also he has to have the ability to express that clearly, and with his tongue. So then a person has to be cautious about this. And likewise, as I mentioned before, that one could delve into these affairs and the doubts of the disbelievers or the doubts of the innovators could enter to his heart. If he's not strong and if he's not sincere and if he's not firm in his knowledge, then those doubts could enter into his heart and be a means for his destruction. Ayyadan billah. So for this reason, in general, a believer, he stays away from debating and arguing in the deen. Although it's permissible and praiseworthy for those people who are qualified. So the author, she mentioned, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الْجَدَلُ فِي غَيْرِ حَقٍّ, to debate any without right. So she begins to clarify in the beginning, وَالْجَدَلْ نَوْعَانِ, and debating, yani meaning in the affairs of the deen. There are two types. نَوْعٌ مَحْمُودٌ. One type, the first type is praiseworthy. Al-Jadal al-Mahmud, the praiseworthy debating, or the praiseworthy argument or discussion, yani exchanging proofs in a manner that's praiseworthy. She says, وَهُوَ مَا كَانَ فِي بَيَانِ الْحَقِّ وَنُسْرَةِ دِينِ اللَّهِ. And this is the type of debating and mujadala that will occur for the sake of clarifying the truth and giving victory and aiding and supporting the deen of Allah. وَدَحْضِ شُبَهِ وَحُجَّجِ أَهْلِ الضَّلَالِ, and to refute and to clarify the false proofs of the people of misguidance. And this is the jadal, or the debating, that is praiseworthy. Whenever the person, he steps up to the arena of debating, and he steps up to the debate, and he's ready to argue and to present his proofs, for what reason? To clarify the haqq. Naam, and to aid the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to refute the falsehood, and to clarify that, and to clarify the falsehood of the evidences of the people of misguidance. Naam, and she mentions, قَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah the Most High, He says, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, and debate with them in the best manner, and debate with them in the best manner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has commanded to debate with the people, and this is the verse that is in Surah An-Nahl, and it's with regards to the methodology of da'wah and the way to call the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the beginning of this verse, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'idhati al hasana. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful admonition. Wajadilhum billati hiya ahsan, and debate with them in the manner that is best, in the manner that is good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in this noble verse, Udu ila sabili rabbika. You have to call to the way of your Lord. You don't call to yourself, you call to Allah, first and foremost. An indication that the one who's going to debate, and the one who's going to make da'wah, and the one who's going to teach, and the one who's going to call to the sunnah, and the one who's going to clarify the haqq from the batil, and the one who's going to clarify the halal from the haram, and the one who's going to remind the people and admonish them, and the one who's going to call the people to that which the sahaba were upon, radiyallahu anhum, first thing it has to be for the sake of Allah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ. Say, this is my way, I call to Allah. We don't call to ourselves. We don't call to individuals. Some people, they call to Allah, but in reality, they call to themselves. Meaning they speak the truth and they speak the haqq and everything they say is correct, but they want to be known and they want to be famous. And they speak in this manner and they display the truth with hopes to be raised themselves from the people. But a true person of the sunnah and a true person of at-tawheed and ikhlas and sidq ma'allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also wants to be raised by displaying the truth. But he wants to be raised by Allah. He's hoping for the rif'ah from Allah, not from the people. And in reality, the rif'ah is from Allah and not from the people. And the people can never raise an individual if Allah did not allow them to do that. So then the tawheed of a person, it goes back to Allah. And to hope in the people and the praise of the people, this is a deficiency in tawheed. And this is a deficiency in the shahada and la ilaha illallah. So then a person who is going to step into this arena and to call to the haqq and to clarify the falsehood, he has to check himself constantly and remind himself to be sincere and to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open his heart and to give him tawheed and to open his heart and to give him ikhlas and to purify his heart from the false desires and the hopes of this life, but rather to hope for the hereafter and to speak for the sake of Allah and to give him success along with that. Pure intention to say that which is correct and to say that which is good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Udu ila sabili rabbika. This is a command to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first and foremost. Wa ummatuhu tatba'uhu fi dhalika. And his ummah is following him in this. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. Udu ila sabili rabbika. Call to the way of your Lord. Kayf, how? Bil hikmah, with wisdom. Yani bil kitabi wa sunnah. With the book and with the sunnah, with the evidences, with the proofs, with wisdom also in the speech, and knowing when to speak and when not to speak, and what to say and to whom to say that, knowing the individuals that one is calling as well, and the reality of those individuals and their situations, and having the right time and knowing the right means and methodologies to relay the message. بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and with a beautiful speech, with a beautiful admonition, reminding those who need to be reminded of the Jannah and the reward of Allah and His promise and His mercy. And some people likewise, they also have to be reminded as well of the punishment of Allah and His anger and of the threat of the hellfire. Reminding them in this manner, بِالْتَرْغِيبِ وَالْتَرْحِيبِ, encouraging them to do good and warning them from the evil, and reminding them of the foul outcome of those who disobey, and reminding them of the great promise and the fadl and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His grace for those who obey Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, some people, they don't accept that. Some people, you speak to them wisely and you speak to them with wisdom and you remind them of the hereafter and you remind them of the punishment of the fire and the likes like this, and sometimes their hearts still do not have any, they're not affected. So what should you do then? Wajadilhum. Wajadilhum. Some people, they have to have mujadala. They have to be debated. Some people, they have previous knowledge. Some people from the people of the books, they have knowledge before that they were upon, and their grandfathers were upon that way, and they're stuck upon that way, and they have this false ideology and creed in their heart. It has to be removed. Likewise, the people of falsehood, from the people of innovation, from the people of the different sects and the different groups and the likes like that, that their methodology is contrary to the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Likewise, they have these creeds and they have shubuhat that are stuck in their hearts, and they have been upon them for generations. Sometimes their father and their grandfather, from the time they open their eyes, all they're seeing is innovation. And all that they have known in their house and in their homes and their masajid is innovation. And yadin billah, this person sometimes, in order for him to come to the truth, along with that wisdom and beautiful speech and beautiful admonition, he has to have debating and going back and sharing the evidences and clarifying some of his doubts and some of his falsehoods that are stuck and trapped inside of his heart. Yadin billah. And this is the case of the shubuhat. They go into the heart and sometimes they're hard to get out. So a believer, one thing he's very concerned about is his heart. And that's why he does not just step up into the arena ready to debate with his deen and put his religion in front of everybody to take a shot at it and try to cause doubts to come to him. But rather, he will keep his deen safe and he'll keep his religion safe, close to him, and not put it in any danger and not put his deen at risk. And from that is arguing, debating, whenever a person, he does not have the ability, nor is he qualified. Nor is he qualified. But as for those who are qualified, قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن, and debate with them in the manner that is best. And debate with them in the manner that is best. And this is the way, with beautiful speech. And before that, before the beautiful speech, it has to have the beautiful intention. That the one who is going to debate with the people is going to try to share the proofs and clarify the falsehood to somebody else, whether it's their family members, or whether it's their relatives, or whether it's their co-worker, or whether it's on a bigger level than that, whatever the case may be, the person, he must be sincere for Allah. He must do this so that the truth is being clarified. Like she mentioned here, وَهُوَ مَا كَانَ فِي بَيَانِ الْحَقِّ وَنُسْرَةِ دِينِ اللَّهِ وَدَحْضِ شُبَهِ وَحُجَجِ أَهْلِ الضَّلَالِ. The one that is praiseworthy, the debating and going back and forth with evidence and proofs and the likes, it has to be with the intention of clarifying the truth and aiding and giving victory and raising the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refuting and clarifying the misunderstandings and misconceptions and innovations of the people of falsehood and deviation with this intention, but also with the hopes that person will be guided. So one will speak and clarify the truth, hopefully that the people they'll understand. Hopefully the person that he's debating with will accept the truth that he's upon. And the likes like this, he has an intention, he wants good for that individual. He's not hoping to push him further into his misguidance and hoping that he will just put his proof on top of him and drown him out and he will die upon falsehood. Rather, he's hoping that that person, he will accept the truth. He's hoping that that person will accept the truth from him and that he will go straight. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent as a mercy to mankind, and he hoped good for the people, and he called them, and he was patient upon their harm sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever he debated or presented the truth to his people, he hoped that they would accept it from him, and he called them to the truth because he wanted khair for them sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those who are calling to the way of their Lord, likewise, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bil hikmati wal mu'idhati hasana wal mu'idhati alhasana waladina yujadiluna an-nasa billatihi ahsan. هذا الإحسان يبدأ بالنية الصالحة الخالصة لله سبحانه وتعالى ومن ذلك إرادة الخير للناس. That one would do it sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and from that is that he hopes good for that person. He's hoping good for that person, that he will clarify their falsehood. Hopefully maybe Allah will guide his heart and he will accept it. نعم لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من عمر النعم. That if Allah guides one person at your hand, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Ali, "This is radiyallahu anhu. This is better for you than the red camels, and the most precious and expensive wealth of that time, and better than all that most expensive and most precious wealth that one can have is that Allah will guide a person innovation at your hand, or guide a disbeliever at your hand, guide a person of falsehood at your hand, guide a person who has doubts and shubuhat at your hand. This is a great, great reward. So that a believer, he is calling, hoping for that reward. A believer, he's debating, hoping for that reward. That reward from Allah, that's better than al-humra, na'am. Na'am, the red camels. That's better than the red camels. Allahu Akbar. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. So then we debate with them in a manner that is good. Debating with them in a manner that is good, calling to the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. First, it requires that the believer, he has a sincere intention. And we're discussing the issue of what? The author, she mentioned here, الجدل نوعاني. الجدل نوعاني. Debating is two types. That's why the title, we pay attention to the عنوان and the title of the author, she mentioned, حفظه الله. الجدل في غير حق. So the one that is from the diseases of the tongue, and the one that is from the ills of the tongue, and the calamities that can befall a person because of their tongue, this is to debate without right. But it must be known that debating is two types, and one of them is praiseworthy and one of them is not praiseworthy. And to debate without right, this one is not praiseworthy. This one is not praiseworthy. As for debating with right, and the one who is qualified to debate, and he has that sincere and beautiful, pure intention, and he hopes good for that person, and to clarify the falsehood, and to call the people to the haqq, hoping that they will accept it. But the fact that they accept it is in the hands of Allah, and one knows that. But this is what a person, he wants for the people, to go straight, and for the haqq to be followed, and for the sharia to be raised, and the people to be upon khair, and the likes like this, he hopes for that. A believer, he hopes for that. A caller, he hopes for that. A teacher, he hopes for that. He hopes that the people benefit from him, so that he can have the benefit with Allah from benefiting them. From benefiting them. Now, so then, one calls with this beautiful intention. The praiseworthy arguing is with this beautiful intention. Nam, with this beautiful intention. So therefore, after one has that intention, if he is going to debate with the people, and the likes like this, then he will pick the means that are most easy for them to accept. And he will try in the manner that will be most beneficial for that individual. because he's hoping good for that person. He really wants the truth to be clarified to him. Maybe he will follow it. Maybe he will go straight. Maybe at one time he was an enemy or somebody of misguidance or person of innovation, but he hopes that he will become his brother upon the sunnah, and he will follow the straight path, and his feet will become firm upon the straight path, and be from those who accompany him upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, and those who aid him and remind him for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, those who were upright upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how many times had this happened? And many of the scholars, they have themselves had been upon falsehood, and they have been upon the path of misguidance, and then somebody called them, and then they become from the greatest of the scholars of the sunnah. And even in our times, we have this way. And the brother of Sheikh Hassan al-Banna, rahimahullah ta'ala, it's mentioned that he was upon Sufiyya, and he did not know the sunnah, and he was guided, and he became from, after that, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the scholars of the sunnah. This is not something that's strange for the people of knowledge. Even Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, before he met Shaykh al-Islam, it's mentioned that he had some misconceptions and the likes like that. But then after that, he was guided to the sunnah, and he became from the most righteous of the people and the most strong and stern of those who clarify the truth for the people. So the issue is that a believer, he calls with this intention and he wants good for them. And therefore, while he is calling them or while he is debating with them, then he will choose the ways that are most beneficial and the ways that are easiest for that person. He would not try to confuse him, or he would not use the ways that are hard for him to understand, or use words or terminology that the person cannot comprehend, but rather he will pick the ways that are easiest for that particular individual that he's debating with to understand, so that hopefully the knowledge can reach him and that he can remove the falsehood. And sometimes this will be by beginning with the issues that they have, by clarifying the falsehood of the issues that they have. For example, by beginning with a Christian, for example, we could ask a person, so you believe that Jesus is God, or you worship Jesus and you pray in the name of Jesus, and you believe that Jesus, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, is worthy of worship. They would say yes, that they believe that. And then we could mention to them that, did he used to eat? Did he used to eat? Alayhi salatu wasalam. They would say, of course he used to eat. He said, don't you have to eat? He said, yeah, I eat. He said, where did your provision come from? Your provision comes from the Christian. He's going to say, God, you need from Allah, from the Creator. So then Isa is like you. He used to have to wait for his provision to come. If Allah didn't provide for him, he would not have provision. But then you say to him, just like Allah, he said in his book about him and his mother, Isa alayhi salam wa Maryam, what did Allah say about them? Kana ya'kulani at-ta'am, that they both used to eat food. Both of them, they used to eat food. So this is a clarification that they were in need of the Creator to provide food for them, and likewise to allow that food to benefit them. And then there's another issue that is very clear, and this is a clarification that no one that has this particular issue is worthy of worship. Somebody who has to eat food, he's not worthy of worship. Because after one has to eat food, he has to get rid of that food. He has to relieve himself from it. So then we can say, do you worship somebody who eats food now? You worship somebody who eats food? I mean, if you eat food, you have to relieve it. So if a person's eating food, or he's busy with him relieving himself from the food, then who is keeping the sun from falling on our heads? This doesn't even make sense. So you clarify to them like this in this manner, but you hope good for them and you want them to accept the truth, but also you put them in a position, you clarify the truth clearly, they cannot say anything after that. You say, okay, and if they say in the end, they'll say, well, okay, khalas, we worship the Creator that needs nothing and he never sleeps, and you worship somebody who eats food. And we know what happens after you eat food. So sometimes it doesn't smell very good. If it continues like this, then yani subhanAllah. And then we say also to clarify for them, okay, this is Isa alayhi salam, but we're not talking bad about him, whether we love him and we follow him, but we just want to clarify he's not worthy of worship because he used to eat food. Likewise, Prophet Muhammad, so that we clarify for them also, so that maybe they don't think, you just talk about bad about Jesus. You Muslims just talk about, la, Prophet Muhammad likewise like Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, kana aydan ya'kul at-ta'am. He used to drink and eat food and yamshi fil aswaq, and walk in the markets also. So therefore, also Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's not worthy of worship. The one who's worthy of worship is the one who does not have to eat food. Yut'imu wa la yut'am. He feeds and he's not fed. He feeds and he's not fed. لا أسألكم رزقا. I don't ask you for any provision. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who's worthy of worship. So in this manner, a person, he will clarify the truth to the people of falsehood or the people of disbelief. But hopefully they will accept that, and hopefully he will accept Islam after clarifying the truth and be ready to give him shahada. And if he takes the shahada, we shake his hand and accept him to Islam, and we teach him how to pray. We teach him how, and at that time, at one time, he's the enemy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now he's our closest brethren and friend. And like, this is what we want for the people. And like, this is what we want for the people. So then we take the means that are closest to bring them to the truth. We take the means that are closest to bring them to the truth. Some people, they debate, and their intention is to drop that person and to put them further into falsehood, and hoping that they will fall in that manner. And this is a foul. They just want to, yani, what is known as iqamat al-hujjah, and to establish the proof. Establishing the proof, no doubt, this is required, and this is something that is necessary, and it's something that is requested and sought. But any establishing the proof so the person will accept it, not so the person will go further into misguidance or fall into the hellfire, but rather to establish the proof. Naam. But hopefully that the individual will accept it. And at the end, a believer, he knows that it's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. But in any case, likewise, the ulama, they mentioned that this praiseworthy debating also, it must not lead to name calling. It must not lead to name calling. This is not وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. This is not considered debating with them in the best manner, or the best way, or that which is best. He's calling. And then next thing you know, you're this and you're that, and your deen is and going back and forth, and start calling names and speaking bad about them and belittling them. This is not the way. Ignoramus, you don't know nothing. What's wrong with you? Naam, all these different name callings and the likes like this, yani, disrespecting them, so on and so forth. This is not from the jidal. That is ahsan. So also, it must not lead to this manner. Now, because the benefit from this is that the person, that the truth will be established, and the person, the truth will be clarified for them, that if Allah guides him, he can accept it. But this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the intent is for the people, the truth to be clarified for the people, with the intention hopefully they would accept it, and hopefully they will find guidance, and hopefully Allah will show them mercy and bring them out of the darkness into the light, like he did for us. And Allah guided us from the darkness and into the light, and we hope the same thing for others. And sometimes it requires for a person to deal with them in this manner, and to debate with them, and to clarify the truth for them. So the author, she mentioned in another verse, she says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا لِأَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنَ. Do not debate with the people of the book except in the best manner. Except with the best manner. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and no example or similitude do they bring to you. And meaning they try to find fault, any hujjah or shubha. And in the people of falsehood and the mushrikun, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, no example or no doubt do they come, or no proof do they try to make for you, and to find fault with you or with the Quran, but we reveal to you the truth, and the better explanation thereof. So then they would try to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bil hujjaj wa shubuhat, and they would try to refute him sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran in that same manner. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would reveal to the Prophet the clarification of that issue, and he would refute the falsehood in that manner, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something, as I mentioned in the beginning, that is not for the layman and to delve into, and for the people who do not have knowledge and understanding, and for the people who do not have experience with knowledge, and they're not firmly grounded, and likewise experience with the truth and knowledge, detailed knowledge of the truth, as well as detailed knowledge of the falsehood, in order to clarify these issues. Naam, that they would step into this arena of debating with the people, so on and so forth. But the ones who are able to do that, they have reached a lofty status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have the status of knowledge is the highest ranks. And those believers who have knowledge, they have the highest of ranks. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah, he says that he will raise the ranks of the believers amongst you and those who have been given knowledge. So the believers, they have the highest ranks of the people, and the highest ranks of the believers are those who have knowledge. Any knowledge that is beneficial, that produces the righteous actions. Naam, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 751. He mentioned in a beautiful benefit in his work, Jala al-Afham, on page 493. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, تَبْلِيغُ سُنَّتِهِ إِلَى الْأُمَّةِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ تَبْلِيغِ السِّهَامِ إِلَى نُحُورِ الْعُدُوِ. Naam, he said, to convey the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the ummah is more virtuous and better than bringing the arrows to the throats of the enemies. Allahu Akbar. Tabligu sunnatihi ila al-ummati afdalu min tabligu al-sihami ila nuhur al-adu. That to convey the sunnah clearly, properly, honestly, truthfully, sincerely, in the best manner, eloquently, to the ummah is more virtuous and better than bringing the arrows to the throats of the enemies, yani to fight them physically in battle. This one is more virtuous. Why? He says, rahimahullah, لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ التَّبْلِيغُ يَفْعَلُهُ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Because bringing the weapons to the enemies, putting the arrow in the chest of the enemies, many people can do that. Many people can learn, even the youngest of men, even sometimes women or girls can learn how to shoot an arrow. Or in these days we have weapons, you can learn how to pull a trigger and to aim precisely. This is something that many people can learn how to do it, and it does not require great talent and ability and a long time to learn how to do it with precision. Now, he says, وَأَمَّا تَبْلِيغُ السُّنَنْ فَلَا يَكُمُ بِهِ إِلَّا وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَخُلُفَاؤُهُمْ فِي أُمَمِهِمْ. He said, as for conveying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then nobody is able to establish that except for the inheritors of the prophets and those who have taken their responsibility after them and their ummas. جَعَلَنَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْهُمْ بِمَنِّهِ وَكَرِمِهِ. He says, may Allah make us from them by His generosity and from His grace. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Ameen. Ameen. This is not something everybody can do, to be able to debate like this. Al-jadl fi ghayri haqq. So the scholars, they mention a beautiful statement, and they say, rahimallahu abdan arafa qadra nafsihi. May Allah have mercy on a slave, on a servant, on an individual who knows the rank of his own self, who knows his own ability. So a person wouldn't step into an arena that he's not good at, and he will not speak about a subject that he is not proficient in, and he will not delve into affairs that do not concern him. So for every maidan and every field, there are the people and the specialists for that. So we leave the specialists and the doctors to that issue, and we leave the students of knowledge and the ulama to that issue, and we do not mix the two up. Now, so al-jadl fi ghayri haqq, that to debate without right. This is the issue here, but must be known. Arguing is two types. The author, she mentioned that the first type is praiseworthy, and this is to debate to clarify the truth and to bring the people from the darkness into the light, and to clarify and refute the proofs and the false evidences of the people of deviation and innovation, and the people of falsehood and people of disbelief, and to clarify the truth to the people. Hopefully they will accept it and go straight, and hopefully they will find right guidance. But that is all in the hands of Allah. And then she mentioned a verse here and another evidence that clarifies this issue, and it is an example from the story of Ibrahim. And he was from those callers to Allah, and he was from those who the Prophet has been commanded to follow. فَاتَّبِعِ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا, and follow the way of Ibrahim al-Hanif sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ أُمَّةً خَانِيتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا. He was an ummah by himself, meaning an imam. And he was from those who called the people and debated with them, and he clarified the haq to him. And the author, she mentions, قال تعالى وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَى قَوْمِ نَرُفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ. That verily, these are the evidences that we have given Ibrahim over his people, and we raised in ranks whom we will. Verily, your Lord is all wise and all knowledgeable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says here, after mentioning the proof of Ibrahim, and Ibrahim, he debated with his people, and he debated with his father and his people, alayhi as-salatu wassalam. And this verse is in Surah Al-An'am. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about him, إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ أَزَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَسْنَامًا آلِهَا إِنِّي أَرَكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. He said, and remember when Ibrahim said to his father Azar, do you take idols as gods besides Allah? Verily, I see you and your people in clear error. And Allah, he says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. And thus did we show Ibrahim the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, so that he can be from those who have sincere faith with certainty. And then he mentioned the story, because his father And the people of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to worship the sun and the stars and the moon besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's mentioned that فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. So in Ibrahim, he wants to debate with them and he wants to clarify the truth for them. And this is from the act of tanazzul. Yani he's telling them that you worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, you worship the sun and the moon and the stars. Okay, khalas. You say that you are Lord. Okay, he says, okay, whenever the night covered him over the darkness and he saw a star, he said, oh, this is my Lord. So you're trying to say this is your Lord? Okay, you would say this is my Lord. Okay, but then when it goes away, what do? SubhanAllah, now the night comes, the daylight comes and it goes away. He said, but whenever it set, he said, I don't like those who set. And he, wait a second, how you going to worship this thing? It's here now and then it goes away. I thought this is the Lord. I had this thing has the rububiyyah, had the rabbi. Oh wait, this is not right. Even this can't be my rab. If you want me to follow your way and I say that this is my rab, okay, well, how come it keeps going away? Wait, that can't be my rab. So he's debating with them in this manner, alayhi salatu wasalam, to clarify their falsehood. And then he says, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَئِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي فَإِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُنَنَّ مِنَ قَوْمِ الظَّالِينَ. He said, whenever he saw the moon, now first the star, the moon is bigger, it appears bigger to the eyes. And he said, whenever he saw the moon rising up, he said, oh, this is my hada rabbi. Okay, now, like you guys say, you want me to say that this is what your deen is correct? Okay, this is my Lord. And this is has the rububiyyah. This is the thing that creates, and this is the thing that provides life and provides for all of us, and it's worthy of worship because of its perfect attributes. So you claim? Hada rabbi. He said, but whenever it goes away, he said, oh, if my true Lord doesn't guide me, then I'll verily be from those who go astray. So Ibrahim is clarifying for them that, you know, this thing that you're worshiping, you wanted to claim that it has rububiyyah and that it's our Lord. And okay, but where does it keep going? How does it go away? The thing that comes and goes like this, how can it be worthy of worship? There's something causing it to come to go. Well, who? What is in control of the star and then the moon and the likes like this? Where did they come from? This one's coming and then it goes and then that one comes and then it goes. Wait, I thought you said they're worthy of worship. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ فَلَمَّا أَفَرَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. So then he clarified to them whenever the sun start rising now, and he said, okay, this is my Lord, that's what y'all claim, right? Okay, this is greater. No, the sun is bigger than all of them. He said, but then the sun is also going to go away too. SubhanAllah. He said, oh my people, verily I am indeed free from those things that you worship besides Allah. Inni wajahtu wajhi lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal-ardha hanifan wama ana min al-mushrikeen. Now he said that verily I have turned my face towards the one who created the heavens and the earth. And the creator of the sun and the stars and the moon, he is the one who is worthy of worship. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. إِن كُنتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. So Ibrahim, he debated with them like this, alayhi salatu wasalam, to clarify the haq to them. And he came to them from the aspect that they worship. Okay, khalas, you worship this thing? You worship the sun or the star and the moons? Let's see, is it worthy of worship? Is it worthy worship? Is it worthy for us to say, Ya Rabbi, and to call on it, and to hope in it, and to rely upon it, and to trust in it, and to fear it? Is it worthy for that? Nah, it's not worthy for that. Likewise, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had another debate with Nimrud. And it was mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did he say? وَإِذْ قَالِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ he said, أيوة, ألم ترى إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في قوم في قوم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك. ألم ترى إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك. Allah gave Nimrud, he gave him a dominion and a great kingdom, and he gave him authority in the land. Allah provided him for that, this king Nimrud. Allah, he says, have you not seen the one who disputed with Ibrahim about his Lord, because Allah had given him the great kingdom? Because Allah had given him the great kingdom. إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Whenever Ibrahim is debating with him and calling them, this man, he was a disbeliever. Nimrud, he was a disbeliever, whether he was an atheist, mulhid. He tried to claim that there's no Rabb. عِيَاذٍ بِاللَّهِ. So Ibrahim told him, he said, my Lord is the one, رَبِّي الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. My Lord is the one who gives life and gives death. And Ibrahim is again making the proof and the evidence for the obligation of worshipping Allah alone by mentioning his rububiyyah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. What did this stubborn opponent say? He said, qala ana uhyi wa umeet. He said, I give life and I give death. So Ibrahim, he's talking about meaning in the origin. that my Lord is the one who gives life and gives death. My Lord is the one who has created all things and provided for all things and sustains and cherishes all things and has cultivated and raised all things and brought everything into existence and gave it its form. Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumeet. So this man, he tried to dodge and tried to go away from what Ibrahim is talking about, alayhi salam. He said, "Ana yuhyi wa yumeet. Ana yuhyi wa yumeet. Whoever I like in my kingdom, I let them stay alive, and whoever I like, I slaughter them and kill them." And so he said, I give life and I give death. But Ibrahim, he's establishing the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the rububiyyah, and from that establishing his right to be worshipped alone, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So then he says to cut off all paths. And this is from the means of success in debating and clarifying to the truth, to put the opponent in the corner where he has nothing he can say. Present the truth in a manner to where it's clear and it cannot be refuted and it cannot be misunderstood. So what does Ibrahim do? Alayhi salatu wasalam. قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب. He said, "Verily, okay, my Lord, you bring life and my Lord gives life and gives death. You think that you give life and give death too? Khalas, my Lord also, along with giving life and giving death, also he brings the sun. Huh? Also, he brings the sun from the east. And if you can do give life and give death like what we're talking about, then you bring it from the west. My Lord brings it from the east. Then if you're the Lord or you know somebody who has authority over him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course not, then you bring it from the west. فَبُوْهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ فَبُوْهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. So the disbeliever, he was utterly defeated. He had nothing else he can say. Guys, nobody can bring it from the west. Only Allah can bring it from the one who brings it from the east, he's the one who can bring it from the west. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this is the means of clarifying the truth, to have sincere intention first and foremost, and to do it in the best manner, and to have the ability with knowledge and experience, and also to have the ability in eloquence and speech, and to clarify the truth and to put the opponent in the corner to where the truth is clear and all can see it, and there's not any room for anyone to say anything once it's presented. The only thing he can do is reject it out of stubbornness, but he will not be able to say anything. This man, he can't say anything else. This man, he can't say anything. He just has to leave now. He has to leave now. Close the door. He has to leave now. Close the door. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimin. Allah, he does not guide the people who are wrongdoers and oppressors. So, alhamdulillah, the arguing and debating is two types. The first one is praiseworthy, and this is the one that we have been discussing. And the issue of the author she has next, she mentions the وَهَكَذَا بَقِيَةُ خَصَصِ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ مَا قَوْمِهِمْ هِيَ مِنْ هَذَا النَّوْءِ. So like this, the issue of Ibrahim and the rest of the stories of the prophets and the Quran that have been mentioned, how they debated and they dealt with their ummah, their nations. They're also from this aspect, the praiseworthy debating, and also وَقِصَةُ مُنَاظَرَةِ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسٍ الْخَوَارِجِ وَغَيْرِهِ مِمَّنْ سَلَفَ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَتَابِعِينَ وَمَنْ تَابِعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى هَذَا النَّمْطِ. And likewise, the story of the debate of Ibn Abbas to the Khawarij. And other than that, it says here min salafa, but it should be min man salafa. So it should, there's a misprint here. Wa ghairihi min man salafa, yani min man salafa. We add a meme to the meme that's there. Min as-sahabati wa tabi'in, from the companions and from the tabi'in. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan, and those who followed them precisely. Yamshuna ala hadha an-namal, they walk likewise upon that methodology in that way. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.